And it's the Table Breakers, they've done it again.
Is this the biggest panel we've ever had on, Jason?
One day you have a guy throwing mid-70s, and next week you have a guy throwing 55-mile fastballs.
Hello and welcome to Ball Caps and Bagpipes, Scotland's premier baseball podcast. I am your host, Danny Quinn of the Glasgow Comets. I'm joined by my mystical scoring wizard. You've got that there. Ewan, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Ewan Spence and I do not play the bagpipes, which means that the name of this podcast is only half right. We do have ball caps, but you'll be glad to know we don't have bagpipes. What we do have is scintillating chat about baseball, everything that's happening in baseball Scotland, looking a little bit further afield, and at least one joke about the Yankees and one joke about the Giants that makes both of us look bad.
That'll be very easy to find given the current climate of those two teams. How's your off-season been, Ewan? You've been relaxing. What have you been up to?
It's been relatively quiet. A little bit of American football, just because it's a late night sport from America, so it kind of sits in. And it's really weird because San Francisco's doing quite well in American football, and I'm not used to that feeling of people just going, "Oh, you might get through to the big game at the end of this season." I'm just like, "What is this postseason?"
Yeah, this is one of my favorite times of the year. This sort of coming into spring, because I just feel like when you finish the postseason in MLB and when Baseball Scotland too, then you're just staring down the barrel of Christmas and it just feels as if you've been completely abandoned. And I feel like January is like Christmas Eve, the full month, because everything's starting to ramp up. Teams are starting to go back to training. We're starting to think about spring training and the new season. So yeah, I'm absolutely over the moon and really excited to get going with this.
I'm not John and you're not Jason, so we might just want to mention that.
We might want to address that, actually. Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking I could be mistaken for John there. I do have the ultimate Yankee fandom that I'm donning, but I don't have the smooth operating voice that John has. So for listeners that are have been involved in this podcast and been listening to this podcast, you'll be very, very accustomed to hearing John and Jason narrate baseball in Scotland over the past few years. At the tail end of last season, John was, well, he made it quite clear that he wanted to step away and work on other things, and he's got loads of great podcasts that he works on, so please do check out his stuff. And recently, Jason has made the same decision to focus his attention elsewhere. So they've built a tremendous foundation for baseball in Scotland to speak about it regularly and for players to come in and engage, so a huge thanks to them. Certainly going forward, I'll be involved, and for the short period, we have the wonderful presence of yourself, Ewan, so thanks for mentioning that.
The wonderful Ewan Spence. Check is in the post.
Exactly. Doing the marketing here. We've got a good episode tonight, so what I'm really keen to do is work my way around the ball clubs we have here in Scotland and kind of get an insight into the players that exist. And one of the guys that you know, I've been an admirer of for a long time, Lawrence Cameron. We're going to bring Lawrence in a wee minute. Have you been up to Aberdeen, Ewan?
I'm trying to think. I don't think I've been up at Aberdeen for like about 25, 30 years.
Right.
It's never one that I've went up to. Most of my time with baseball, as the slogan says, is the scoring. So that there's always tend to be one of the Edinburgh clubs at home. And when it gets to the postseason, there's like some at home, some away. So that's traveling. I've only been around 2 or 3 years, so I've never had the opportunity to go up to the north of Scotland in the postseason.
Ah, great. Well, the ballpark is right on the sea, so if you are a fan of 40-mile-per-hour winds and minus temperatures in the middle of June, you would absolutely love it. It's a great wee ballpark I've got up there. But I always love going up to Aberdeen. It is one of my favourite trips of the year. I'm going to bring Cammy in now to talk a wee bit with us. We're joined now by Lawrence Cameron of the Aberdeen City Oilers. How you doing, Lawrence? You all right?
How's it going? Not bad, how are you?
Yeah, all right, doing well.
Yeah, I have to say you're not missing much not coming to Aberdeen. I wouldn't recommend it.
I always like it. As a player, I guess you guys all car shared down and stuff like that. Do you like that process or do you just prefer when people come to you?
I don't know. You remember Cairo?
Yeah.
Kyrie, you know, used to have his MX-5. So that was a good road trip. But yeah, I don't know. It always makes me hate baseball that we leave Aberdeen and it's terrible weather and we get to Glasgow and it's sunny for you guys. That's just, I really consider that an injustice, you know, in the grand scheme of things, but.
We've always been quite fortunate when I've been up. It has been quite sunny because you guys are right in the coast. It is always really windy. I always say with Aberdeen, it's really good if you like hitting because you will get a lot of things that should be classed as errors, classed as hits, because as soon as that ball's in the air, it's just everywhere. But I've got one of my worst fielding percentages when I step near field. It is awful trying to track a ball in the outfield.
I didn't realize that was actually news. I'm not sure if you guys, we have actually moved now.
Right.
Yeah, we lost, I think we theoretically lost the field because they're tearing down that leisure center and they are going to put the rubble, I think, and the vehicles onto the field. So I'm not sure if that's begun yet, but we did move off kind of just after the end of the season.
Where are you now? Where are you?
It's a kind of a deal with the uni. It's one of their fields. I don't know. It's not any remarkable, you know, it's good. It has a decent view, kind of. It's actually towards home plate is the better view. So I guess it's good if you're a fielder. It kind of just looks over this. It's a bit of a bit high in elevation. So it looks kind of onto some of the city. But it's a brand new field. I've seen it just umpiring uni games. And it hasn't had its chance to be broken in yet. So, you know, we don't really know. I was a big fan of the old field and location and for its, you know, being scenic and whatever. So I'm kind of crushed by the change, but it's we have a storage facility there, which we never did have. And I think if I remember correctly, there are actually toilets now. So
yeah, that's a good bonus.
It's an improvement. I'm just nostalgic.
I like the thought of Aberdeen building a Coors Field, an elevated baseball field where, you know, my infield singles can become outfield singles. That's a very promising thing for me. So I'm all aboard that.
I mean, that would give you three outfield singles next season then.
Imagine a batting average in the 200s. My goodness, man can dream.
Starting with a Lawrence, one.
We'll get into it. Just got some questions here. I just want to get a wee bit of background on you. You are obviously someone of Hungarian descent with one of the most, arguably probably the most Scottish name in the league. Aberdeen with American interest. So I can already tell this is, I don't know how you wake up and don't have an identity crisis every time you get up in the morning. But
how is it? Actually do. I really do.
It's pretty sad.
No, especially looking like this. It's, you know, I should have waxed it more. I could have gone full Hungary, but.
You will tell you I was rocking the mustache last week, but I had to shave it off.
And you got rid of it, and I don't know why. I'll pull up the message where I said, don't get rid of it.
I mean, he still has it. It's in a little box by the bed.
I'm going to
balancing some comedy glasses and a big nose as well. So when it comes right during the Groucho Marx baseball tournament, then, you know, we're never going to be able to recognize Danny.
I'm going to save it all from a receding hairline and just try and manage it that way. Lawrence, how did you come to be playing baseball in Scotland? What's your journey sort of been like? Where's the interest come from?
Well, the actual story is kind of, I don't know, uninteresting. I've always played multiple sports. And I've always found it hard. I played a lot of football when I was younger, but it wasn't something I really wanted to put time into. Like, it didn't interest me in the development of things, probably because it doesn't allow me to hoard gear that I don't need. There's only so many shin pads and boots you can have before it gets boring. I did like things like tennis. I did a tiny bit of American football. And then the one thing I was doing is water polo, right? Because, you know, identity crisis in Hungary. Yeah. And they shut down the club. It was like, I think it was about the age of, I think maybe 14 to 16, 17. And they were going to make a league and there was a couple pool teams, but it was a problem because it was a mixed age thing. It was like 14, I think, to 17 or 16. And when you have a Hungarian with 14-year-olds that can literally throw a water polo ball through them, it just stops. Like, I ended up being in goals because they didn't want me to shoot.
Yeah.
And so you just ruin water polo, but eventually the club closes down. And I literally went, okay, I'm going back to ice hockey or baseball. And I found baseball in Aberdeen first. So That's literally it. Ice hockey, baseball field next to each other. And I typed in baseball on Facebook and it came up with something. And I was shocked because I didn't know about baseball in Scotland. And that's the origin story. That's it. I sent them a message and I started training.
So what sort of connection did you have to baseball before that? Did you follow the sport? Were you interested in it?
I liked the sport and we kind of played it in school. It was more like rounders, but there was like a minor baseball emphasis. Basically, they labeled it baseball one time on PE and I was like, oh, this is great. And it ended up being over glorified rounders. Like, they didn't know what baseball was. And that's about it. Like, I remember one point in time, there was me and somebody else who'd played some baseball, I think in like Asia. And they'd had the metal, you know, the college baseball bats. And we were hitting a tennis ball, but they were hitting with a tennis racket. And I said, why can't we use the bat? To which the PE teacher points out that most people who haven't done that can't hit something the size of a tennis ball with a baseball bat. They quickly allowed me to use it as a handicap, you know, once they realized that tennis was a little bit too easy. And that was basically it for the UK. It's just kind of like, I've played rounders baseball and followed real baseball, and I just wanted to take it further.
And you've been, how long have you been at Aberdeen for then? When did you join Aberdeen Baseball Club?
It's a long mix because I spent time in and out because of injuries and just training and not playing. But first year playing would have been, 2020 if we didn't have a lockdown. But 2021 was my first starting full season.
Yeah. So you were about, I think, John, I sort of came into the league in 2019, and Aberdeen at that point had two teams. One of them was the Express, and they got all the way to the Caledonia final against the Galaxy, and they held them to a really tight contest in Glasgow for the first seven innings, and Galaxy were just able in those final two innings to really push themselves over that line, but it was really, really competitive. Off the back of that, we didn't have a season in 2020, and by 2021, you guys were down to one team. A lot of your, you know, Aberdeen's probably been the most turbulent club in that there's been a lot of changeover and a lot of players that have went elsewhere because, you know, I knew, you know, Tayport emerged, it was closer for a lot of people. People end up in Glasgow, people end up in Edinburgh. How difficult is it to sort of weather that storm as a player or see people come and go or compete against people that were previously training with you? Is that something that is particularly difficult?
Yeah, you know, it's funny you mentioned 2019 because 2019 was my first full season of training. And I played my first game technically in Glasgow on the Oilers, I think in the postseason. I'm not sure if we do that anymore, but it was like a game after it was all technically over, just a friendly. And that was my first game. And it's funny because I will continuously remind you that your outfield fence, when I played my first game, went up to that berm, and now it doesn't. I'm just saying.
We were scared, Lawrence. We were scared.
My first game, I took pictures. I have a picture of that fence on that berm. I'll bring it up. But no, yeah, I mean, I was around for 2019. Those are the guys I trained with. That was like the golden days of Aberdeen baseball. And even though I didn't play, it was like definitely very, what's the word? Contagious. I mean, I like to, you being Yankees, I assume you know the Yankees farm system field in Florida.
Yeah, absolutely.
They just have, you know, they have their kind of spring training, or not spring training, they have a
and George Steinbrenner Field, the one down in Tampa.
Is that called double, is that a double or a triple, whatever, anyway, they have their, you know, a series ball training field. And I got to watch some games, though, this summer. And it really makes me realize that Aberdeen is just the farm system for Baseball Scotland. You know, I mean, we've got players in Edinburgh, ex-players in Edinburgh, ex-players who've played in Glasgow. Tayport, fundamentally, you know, is largely people who live closer to there. And just kind of we lost them geographically. Yeah, I think that's both Edinburgh teams. I don't know if we really have that many people in Glasgow. I know Kairu kind of went in between in his time.
Yeah.
I call it the farm system. It's where baseball players, you know, are trained to then go to bigger teams.
Yeah. Fair enough. Is it hard? So you guys went through all last season. Did you win a game last season or did you pick up a win in the league?
I thought we did, but don't hold me to that.
Okay. How difficult is it to sort of sustain that morale then when you have that losing record? I know that when I came into the comments, we had a losing record and it was very difficult, a turbulent time in 2019 for us. And how difficult is it to sustain that morale?
I mean, I just want to make the point mentioning from your discussion of what was going to be covered in the podcast earlier that I wouldn't be able to even compare it to how you must feel about the Yankees losing streak. But, you know, of course, Aberdeen's losing
streak. Keep going, Cammy. Keep going. Yeah. Just lay in.
Aberdeen's losing streak has been much shorter. But no, so it's, I don't know. For me, it's about playing, but I'd be lying if I told you that I don't miss the 2019 and 2021. And 2021 was not as good as our 19 year, but we put up a good fight and won some games. And I miss it. I went in the last couple of years from being like junior in the club to ending up accidentally being kind of training staff and on the committee. And I definitely miss being under phenomenal players that you can aspire to. Not to hate on anybody in Aberdeen. There are still, you know, I mean, Kairu, there's Nico, for example, who's been playing since he was a child, who could still wipe the floor with me, considering he's younger than me and technically has been playing for less conjoined time. Or I think by being in the adult league because he had to catch up to being adult age, whereas I started here at adult age. But, you know, there's definitely still players there. But it's hard to not be, you know, the one guy out of the nine instead of being, you know, one of four or five. It's, I don't know, those are different times. I definitely fantasize 2021 Oilers. But yeah, it's, you know, because it's for the play, like I like to make fun. I like to have fun with it all the time. And I think it's relatively obvious when I'm in games for the people that see that I try to have fun with it. Even when we're losing, you know, it's like, it's relatively, I like to make it funny. That's my problem is I can't remember the umpire and I guess I shouldn't name him, but I love to go, looks good to me on the most 19 yards off the plate call possible. And I only once received a warning for that. That wasn't a joke. And that didn't really know how to react to that considering I'm trying to make it funny and the ball basically hits first base and I get a warning for saying that it looked good to me. But
now that you're effectively the man in the team, does that change how you play as a player?
What do you mean by that? I just know what you mean.
Because you're not looking up to other people, now you've got the rest of the team looking up to you. How do you play the game any differently? How do you take that extra pressure and sort of compartmentalize it when you're behind the plate and just catching the ball, but also watching out over everybody else?
Yeah, that brings up imposter syndrome for me. Because, you know, the guys that I used to look up to are people who played in Europe and America through their childhood, like have been playing some of them longer than I have been alive. So, you know, it's difficult. I try my best to not argue my own calls, but I cannot resist arguing calls on my players because we don't really have that manager in Baseball Scotland that will get ejected when the call is bollocks. And so that ends up being me. And I really probably shouldn't, but I can't help myself. But I make a point to not argue my own calls, even if they are, in my opinion, wrong, because I think that looks bad. But somebody, I think, has to stick up, you know, for your newer guys who want to say something but can't. And I think that if you do stick up for those guys, even if it causes you to get ejected, which I haven't been so far, thank goodness, but maybe we'll do that this year to get it off the bucket list. I just think that maybe it's going to keep the guys in the game, you know, knowing that their opinion is there and it is heard. I don't know. I would consider the last season a slump for me. There aren't stats, but I've not done as well. I think there's a bit of beginner's luck in it. My first season, I like was doing doubles and a triple and not striking out. And, you know, I mean, last year, actually my record was that I was hit in every game other than two. I could bring up a picture. I actually had a nice actual seam dent from Danny earlier last year on the thigh, as you will remember. I still owe you that. And the problem is people like to laugh at you for not getting out of the way, but simply I'm just not quick enough. Like, I want to hit it until I realize that it's going to hit me. You know, I don't like even if I tried to get out of the way, which often you can see on video, I just get nailed anyway. I don't know. I don't seem to be lucky with avoiding. But I haven't damaged anything permanently yet. So I think we're doing okay.
Does it upset you? You've not got a 100 record for that then?
I guess. I don't know if that really is a thing, but yeah. I mean, you know, every game other than two, including multiple times. And I don't think I'm that hated, so I assume it's an accident, but maybe people just really don't like me.
You know, that awesome. I think I first started talking to you, Cammy, off the back of that. That was the All-Star game in 2022. And I remember I hit you with a curveball, and the curveball clocked in the radar at 21 mile per hour. And so I didn't quite understand how you became to bruise so easily. But I remember you after that sending me an update on a daily basis of how your bruise was coming along, with pictures included. So yeah, that was appreciated. I would also say about your Yankees comment is that, you know, I'm more than open to sit here and compare the 27 championship rings that Aberdeen have brought to the table with the 27 championship rings that the Yankees have. So we can do that. That's fine.
Oh, Danny, I've got a quick Yankee stat for you if you'd like it.
Okay.
The active player in the MLB with the most hit by pitches so far is Anthony Rizzo.
Yeah, oh, he stands on top of the plate. That doesn't surprise me. That's wild, isn't it?
213.
Yeah, he often speaks about when he feels his batting is off is when he's not been hit because he's not comfortable and he's jumped out the way. So yeah, I mean, you can make a career out of that, Cammy. You can just sit up at that plate and take your beating. You'll be absolutely fine, man. So you've played. You've played a few positions, but predominantly you've played catcher. And that always begs the question to me is, what kind of childhood trauma do you have to go through in order to make it sound like a good idea that you want to be a catcher on a baseball team?
You know, it's funny. This is put into perspective for me. My significant other's brother kind of plays baseball in the US in college, and I won't diverge too much because, you know, confidentiality. But he kind of throws, you know, near that 90 kind of not on a bad day, but like that's kind of his comfortable, you know, in a good time, like not really exerted speed. And, you know, I throw with him every now and then when I visit. And for example, last winter and the Christmas before in the summer, you know, it really like puts it into perspective for you when you're seeing 90s compared to, you know, the speeds that are really common. I think to name a Glasgow player, which I think is atrocious to have him on single A, but Roberto, you know, I think probably throws roughly around 160 miles an hour. So it's a little bit different. But, you know, it's what I find the problem is that especially when you get to the frame, is that 90 doesn't move. You know where it's ending up, whereas the sort of 65 has a lot more variation. So personally, I'm a lot less comfortable with the 65 than I am with a 90. Usually as well with the 90, by the time it's hit me, I'm actually over the moment because of how quickly it goes by. Whereas, you know, that 60 is coming for like the jaw or the neck, you know, it's much more the anticipation. I don't know. I never minded that. That's the thing. I of course refuse to catch without gear, even in a bullpen, because I've seen what happens to that. And I'm the biggest advocate of buying a cup if you're going to catch, which is difficult because I help with coach at the uni. And some of those guys really don't want to spend that money because they'd rather, you know, be spending it in the bobbin, but which is a pub. But so, you know, it's hard. I tell everybody, like, you know, preferably if you really care about your lineage, may take one for the team and buy the cup. But no, it's the most interesting position for me, especially because it is that every play involvement. So maybe I'm just attention seeking, but no, I don't know. I did a lot of time in outfield to start with before the catching position opened up for us. And there's just not a lot to catch it, just fielding. Sorry. I know that I'm going to get roasted for that by the fielders, but I don't know. There's less for me there. Like, it's all about getting there. Whereas there's so much behind the book things about catching that, you know, you can know as much as I've been lucky to learn. And I still don't know a thing. You know, I really don't. I don't know. I'm a big fan of the whole signs game. I, for example, have been pitching recently and made Nico learn 12 signs for an average game rotation. So, you know, I certainly am much better at being a pain to catchers than I probably am at being one. But there you go.
You've pitched, you've done the outfield, you played any infield. How many positions on the team have you played,
roughly? I mean, I think I've occupied everything in a game.
Right.
First is okay. I happen to be blessed with being extremely flexible for the 5'7" chubby kid. Because I mean, I did gymnastics all through school. I was told by all of my teachers, you know, I mean, for example, when we do the warm up, I can get my palms flat on the floor, and there are guys on our team who can't touch their toes. So there's a reason I ended up being a catcher. But it's just, I don't know how to cover that. I'm not really, I think, fast enough for shortstop. I don't know what that is. I can't seem to just get like dive into it quick enough. I don't really know. I don't really know why it's like, other than just being slow, because I always think there's more to that. I don't know if it's ball prediction. That's not usually something I think I have a problem with, but I can't really perform at the shortstop. And then of course, 1 and 3 is much better suited to lefties, which I'm not. So I've historically always been outdone at first and third by people like, for example, I mean, we had Kat, you know, you'll be familiar with Kat from Aberdeen, who, you know, we picked up off of the uni team and decided to just be the best outfielder and then also infield, you know, first and third that we could possibly ever find. So there wasn't really ever an opportunity there for me, apart from maybe like an all-star game to fill for somebody. But yeah, I think definitely second base is my most practiced, but I don't think I make a very good defensive outfield or infield, sorry. But that's
so
that.
At risk of sounding like I'm flirting with you, which I might be a wee bit, what's your favorite position?
You know, I really have been practicing pitching a lot recently and being told that I'm doing quite well. I'm not, you know, fast, but for somebody who has no training there, and I really want to do that in the future. That's kind of the thing that didn't have an opportunity in Aberdeen because I was stuck behind the plate because of necessity. But I think it has to stay catching. I wouldn't trade catching for anything, you know, especially watching it. Like, you know, I have 4 on the jersey. That's straight because of Molina, and there's no other way about it. And I think especially because of watching Molina play, you just fall in love with the catching position. I don't think that would ever change. Even if I could get drafted as a pitcher, I would still be catching.
Do you think part of that complements the leadership role that you're taking on with the younger members of the team, that you can see everything, that you're helping to call every single play, that, you know, it's far easier to judge other team members as catcher than it would be if you're in the outfield?
I think that's a good point. You might be overselling me a little bit. I'm a very by the book guy. I actually have a partly photoeidetic memory, but it's uncommandable, unfortunately. Otherwise, I could steal all of Glasgow's signs. So I really like
those. Glasgow has signs.
Tackles yes. This way. Tackles this losing. Way.
It's a knuckleball. It might go anywhere. That's Danny's signs for the entire season coming up.
That's Danny's signs for anything he throws. I don't know if you've heard of the danger that you might be in if you're a phone in Danny's proximity. It's not something I would recommend doing. That's visiting Aberdeen and then being a phone that Danny owns. That's the list of how I would avoid those. I like to understand the game, and I think that comes into catching, to where I really enjoy, you know, the hidden rules and like that knowledge, you know, that kind of makes a catcher, I feel like, more in tune with the game. That doesn't necessarily mean to say I'm good at it, but I do like trying to learn it. I spend like probably more time than is healthy watching anything from like, you know, little league tier breakdowns to like MLB players talking about how to play better ball. Again, knowing it in theory doesn't mean I can play it, but it certainly has helped me with coaching. I find I can coach a lot better actually than I can play. And even to results, it just, when you can explain that, it kind of helps it. But I also am one of those people who thinks that here's the rules of baseball and then here's what you can do. Like, everything in baseball is a thing until somebody just comes up, you know, I mean, switch pitchers, submarine, you know, all these things were not a thing at one point and then become a thing. So I like to be like, here's what I recommend from what I was taught, but take some freedom with it. And I think that really helps because people aren't stuck in the, you know, the very narrow definitions of how to play baseball. I think that helps. That definitely has been a big thing for me. I picked up a lot of superstition that I never used to believe in about baseball, and now I basically subscribe to all of it, like I'm, you know, falling for the African Prince mailing list. So yeah, it's hard. I don't think I can be a position of supreme influence, but I like to say that I try.
Favorite's probably the wrong word here, but what's the most interesting superstition you have?
Well, I'll expose myself. It's not a superstition, but I don't run if I'm catching. I outright refuse to the level of argument before warm-ups to run. It's just a thing that I caught from water polo background, that also being a goalie in water polo, that you kind of want to get stretched out. And when you then run, all of your muscles obviously go back to tense. You know, that's the fundamental of running. And I found that I cannot make it through games if I do the warm-up run. So if I'm going to be behind the dish the whole time, I stick to stretches. My feet, I think the big thing that I think new catchers struggle with is your feet just start to burn. And I don't have this problem anymore. Luckily, I've gotten out of it. But I remember when I started catching, I couldn't squat for a whole game. And you know, now I've done basically two in a row. So it doesn't hold a candle to American baseball players who are playing four college games in a day. But in terms of real superstition, I can't, for example, throw a bullpen unless there's a backstop, which makes no sense. But I can't do it. If I go everywhere without a backstop, and it's like the guilt of being in the catcher's position and having to go and get those that I think just throws me off. I don't really know if that counts. But it is like, I see it as kind of like a karma thing of all the people that I've ever had to complain at for throwing everywhere and running after it. And now I'm that guy. So yeah, I think I deserve that. And what goes around has actually come around.
It's an interesting point, really. I think if you're going to have a superstition, one where you don't need to run is a pretty good one to have. I'm going to start a superstition where I want two Big Macs at every game delivered to me before I start. My superstition is that I'm not going to start on the bench because I play worse. I would like to be in the starting nine. That's my superstition. In every game. Lawrence, we're kind of coming to the end of this, man. Just looking forward then to 2024, I think as a player, there's always things you take at the end of a season where you're like, I want to develop this, or I want to develop that, or I'm going to zone in on this particular thing and just be terrible at everything else. And it kind of swings and roundabouts every season to season. What's your big areas of interest? What are you looking to develop? What are you working on going into next season?
I'm going to be the most basic guy here, but hitting. I want to get back to where I was in 2021. And again, it was beginner's luck, but I was doing phenomenally for somebody who hadn't actually played a full season of baseball ever. And I think I have sacrificed hitting for other skills that have been more beneficial to the team, but I'm going to go ahead and put the team on the back burner and be selfish again this year. And I'm going to try and hit some better, you know, get some more BP, maybe push Danny out of the line and take his pitches. That I think that might really do something for my performance.
Would it help if we got you a tennis racket?
I mean, if I can use it in a game, yes.
You're absolutely right. I think a lot of the time with baseball, I think you come in and everyone has a good first season, I feel, because you don't overcomplicate what you're doing. You're trying to see a ball and you're trying to hit it with a bat and it's dead basic. And I really slumped my second season, and I know a lot of people do that sort of sophomore slump, because then I think sort of information overload, where you're thinking about your hand grip and you're thinking about your load and your swing, and sometimes less is more. So I think just repetition breeds success, doesn't it? And it breeds comfort. So just trying to do that as much as possible is always a good way to have. Anything you want to ask us, Lawrence, or anything you want to touch upon before we go?
When am I coming back and when am I getting paid?
Right, okay. So the payment is definitely in the mail. I checked it yesterday. They said it's going to be, you know, 45 business days. Give them a wee call back. I'll send you the number and we'll get you back when we go back onto live stuff. But look out for that check and definitely chase them up if you don't get it. It's in the mail.
But actually, if I had a real question, what I really would like to know is, you know, with your hoard that you regularly like to remind me of trophies and accolades and other knickknacks that you've been gifted, you know, participation trophy, when will there be a Danny Quinn, you know, museum? Like, surely we can fit that in Glasgow somewhere. You know, I see a lot of available real estate. I think it would do really great next to kind of your run of the mill, you know, perhaps Chinese restaurant. I think that would be a great thing I could do while I was waiting for my food to be ready. You know, and you must have 65. I mean, actually, I can see them on the wall behind you. You know, when there's nothing else you've achieved in life, it becomes really easy to center yourself on one list of it. No, I'm sorry, I'm taking that too far. No, yeah, but seriously, you know, congratulations, Danny. You seem to be putting us in a metal shortage with the things you're collecting on your shelf there. And I'm just jealous, and that's about it. I'm jealous and vain, and that's literally everything.
And it's always good to be recognized, isn't it? I think even getting
doing the old-star games
and stuff like that's good too, man. Like, it's always nice to be recognized. But you know, that's the thing with baseball. It's such a season to season sort of thing. Like, I've had seasons where I've pitched really well and been comfortable and hit like shit, and I've had seasons where I've hit really well and fielded really poorly, and kind of just fluctuates all the time, doesn't it? It's hard to, when you're not playing this sport 5-6 days a week, it's difficult to be good at everything, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess in my time, it's just been the negative side of those, because I'm yet to see the other, but I'm excited. Show me in 2024.
Lawrence, Cammy, thanks so much for joining us today. We are recording this. It's not live, obviously. It's going to go out live on the Facebook in the next couple of days. But really been good catching up with you, man, and talking a wee bit of baseball. Definitely we'll get you in the podcast later in the season. But cheers again for joining us today.
Perfect. I'm looking very much forward to actually getting out in the field once it's more than minus 10 degrees in Glasgow.
It's going to be very mushy. I'll say that much, man. Like, right through to February to probably about June, it's just a swamp. But it'll be good in July. We'll get it going. We'll be all right.
I hope so. I really do.
If not, we will just put those tennis rackets on our feet and just use them like big snowshoes.
That's exactly.
Have you considered running for president, Ewan?
Which president?
Baseball Scotland.
Oh, geez, no.
I'll take America.
To be fair, hold on. 2 + 2, Floor. I'm too intelligent to be an American president. Certainly, we can get one of the candidates. Is it the? No. He's trying to get me into trouble, Danny. Danny, save me.
This is a PG-13. Everybody
did we get the San Diego roast in? I haven't heard it.
Was that?
No, we didn't. We got a San Diego manager in.
Right. Yeah. He's going to sign off some judge anytime soon. Okay. Thanks so much for joining me, Phil. It's been a pleasure talking to you tonight. We will be back with Ball Caps and Bagpipes in a few weeks, going to make our way around the league, talk to some people. But thanks once again for coming along and talking ball, and enjoy the rest of your nights. All right.
Always a pleasure.
And for those of you all out there, you can carry on keeping up to date with all of your Baseball Scotland fun and games while we work out and all the bits and pieces. Let's go facebook.com/baseballscotland. You can leave your comments on this podcast there, as well as find out links to all the other teams, your local baseball teams in Scotland. And if you're outside Scotland, well, you never know. Give us a nudge anyway. We'll put you in touch with your local team or, you know, anything else that's going on. That's where you can find us. Danny, when are we going to be back?
Going to be back probably 2 weeks from now, looking to speak to some more people. So keep an eye on the page. Certainly let us know what you thought of this episode, any comments, anything like that. Always appreciated. And please do. It means a lot if you can share around your network. So thanks once again and enjoy your night.